I listen to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast because Rod and Karen are hot.
Phone calls just like my mom with a couple of valuable side of palms.
Yo. Hey, welcome to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast. It's your host, Rod and
Karen.
We're in the house again, doing another episode. I mean,
we always in the house, though.
Yeah, that's true. I guess we're always literally in the house.
Yes.
When we do these episodes. We have a very special guest this time. And this time, I mean it. Unlike all those other times, I was like, oh, this person's special. Nah, I'm just fucking with all my other guests. we have Roy Wood Jr., the comedian extraordinaire. You might know him from RoyWoodJr.com. Maybe you saw him on Conan a few nights ago doing his stand-up thing to wrap up the show. Maybe you know him on Twitter at Roy Wood Jr., all one word.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you remember him from Last Comic Standing, where he was a finalist on that. That's how I actually got introduced to his talents. Say what's up to everybody, Roy.
Hey, what's going on with y'all, man? Thank y'all for having me. I appreciate it. They may also know me as that one brother that was in the background on that episode of 30 Rock, Season 2, Episode 6. Hell yeah. In the green shirt.
Black acting, man. Yeah, you also, we were looking at your website, getting more familiar. I know you do a lot of prank calls. And I think I heard you on a couple other shows doing interviews and whatnot. I think you said you're going to retire from the prank call business.
I'm getting there, man. I'm at that age now with pranks where I've got, can I cuss?
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, and I'm drinking.
Yes, you can. We are not censored on this show, brother.
I've got shit that people could sue me for now.
Mm.
So, it's not as much fun calling people and fucking with them when you actually have property or money. I'm not rich, but when I started doing pranks, I was 20 years old, living with my mom, making $200 a week doing comedy. You can't sue me. I wouldn't have cared. But now, if I call and cuss somebody out, the first thing they'll do is go, well, I'm trying to get some money from you. So, you know, I'm scaling it back, but the problem is, I have a radio show in Birmingham, and you know, Birmingham, I came in behind Ricky Smiley. So I'd say since 1995, this city has gotten a steady diet of prank calls every year. And it's hard to really let it go, man. It's hard. It's fun, but I know it's something sooner or later I'm going to have to kind of scale back on doing. Kind of like how Jordan went from dunking to just kind of passing the ball and doing layups near the back end of his career.
Right.
remember when Jordan played with the Washington Wizards? He wasn't doing all that tongue hanging out bullshit. He was, man, huh.
I remember Jordan got that block. He got a two-handed block where he jumped up and snatched the basketball and touched it onto the backboard and came down with it. And that was the last highlight he ever had on the Wizards. It was...
Yeah, that was like Jordan's last highlight. And then everything else was just him just with both of his hands on his knees, just panting.
Yeah. Looking like his knees hurt.
Put some Tiger Balm.
Yeah. Now, let me get into real quick business with the show. Of course, if you're listening to this show, you should already know this. But it's the Black Guy Tips. You can find us on the blackguywhotips.com. That's where we keep our blog. We also have forums on the site. We have donate buttons for those of y'all that got really good tax returns and haven't spent it all yet. You can always find us on iTunes where you can leave us nice 5-star reviews. We read every 5-star review on the show regardless of content.
Yep.
So if you can find some type of way to make me, say that Lil Duval is the best comedian of all time, that's the one way to do it. That's how you get me. You can go on Facebook and join our group. We're getting up there. We're almost at 2,000 members like the podcast. And you can always find us on Podomatic and Stitcher Radio. Make sure you guys are doing that. Of course, we're both on Twitter. I'm at Rodimus Prime.
I'll say that again. That as in D-A-T.
And, of course, don't forget also the hashtag TBGWT. That's what we're trying to use. When you guys are listening to the show and you want to tweet about it, use the hashtag so people can go, hey man, what the fuck is that? And then you can explain to them how great the podcast is and how it gets you by every morning and whatnot. Always email us, theblackouttips@gmail.com. And you can call the show, 704-557-0186. Leave us a voicemail. We do a feedback show on Saturdays where we read all your emails, we listen to your voicemails, and we respond to them. So, you know, if you want to get your voices heard, that's how you can do it.
Yes, sir.
As always, the official weapon of the show is...
We believe in tasing people.
That's right, the taser. And the unofficial sport is...
Bullet ball.
And bullet ball extreme.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Roy, do you ever heard of bullet ball?
Bullet ball?
Yes. Bullet ball.
That's new to me.
Well, when you get a chance, you might want to YouTube... I don't know. Well, if you do prank calls, you had the right kind of sense of humor for this.
Yes.
It's my man, Mark Griffin. He went on this American Inventor show, and his dream was a game called Bullet Ball. And he decided to go ahead and present it to some sharp investors who were looking for games to invest in and other products from American Inventors. And he had what we like to call on the internet an epic fail. Mm-hmm. And it did not go well
at all.
But there's some tender music as he talks about living in his car, pawning his wife's wedding ring, and other struggles he went through to get to that place where he could get his dream on TV.
Yes.
So check that out. We have a link to it on our site. We think it's hilarious. This podcast is sponsored today.
Woohoo!
Today's podcast is sponsored by Dancy, which is an audio play from Shadow Dog Productions. I've seen it several times, or not seen it, listened to it several times. It's funny as hell.
Yes.
It's about, well, I'll let them describe it. They're not saying that Dancy is cray-cray, as I like to call them.
Okay.
No, I don't like, crazy people don't like when you say crazy to them for some reason. I don't know if psychologists are out here telling them that that's a bad word, but... don't ever say that to one of them to the face. But they're not saying Dancy is cray-cray, but she will fuck you up if you mess with her man.
Uh-oh.
Yes, and these two poor bastards just did.
Uh-oh.
That's right, two people did something to a man, and then she's got to get revenge. I'm not going to give you too many details. It's only 99 cents, and you can find it at ShadowDogProductions.com/Dancy. And, of course, you can find the link to it on our site, which I'll have up after the show. All right, man. Y'all ready to get into some fucking podcasting?
I am.
All right, man. I got my drink. We got Roy White Jr.
Hold on.
Hey. I got a drink, too.
Hey, hold on. I got to do my sponsor, man.
Go ahead, brother.
My portion of the Black Guy Who Tips podcast is brought to you by Gucci Mane Prescription Strength Lip Chap Balm. Do your lips split and shit when you talk and get bloody when you bite into a hamburger? Gucci Mane Prescription Strength Lip Chapstick Balm is the only lip chapstick balm guaranteed to moisturize your lips from the bottom outwards. You do not want to be embarrassed and you do not want to have bloody lips. Gucci Mane 1017 Prescription Strength Chapstick Lip Balm. Ask for it by name, Burr.
I think that might be a first ever for
you may proceed now.
I appreciate that.
Yes, we do.
And I'm sure Gucci will appreciate getting some of that as soon as he can when he gets back on the streets.
Yes.
If and when.
So I get to work because I have a full-time job. I'm not making enough money off this podcast to support myself.
Not yet.
So I go to work, and there's an email about the refrigerator.
Oh.
Yeah, and it's from one of my coworkers, and he sent it to everybody.
Okay.
Because last week there was an email about people taking shit out of the fridge that's not there.
Man, that'll make you snap.
I've never had this happen to me, and I've never taken somebody else's shit, but, you know, I guess it would be pretty disturbing if it did.
Yes, we've had that happen at my job, and it's nothing worse than everybody, you know, going about their day, you know, happy to eat their lunch. Somebody open up the refrigerator, all you hear is cussing. Didn't take my fried chicken ham bone out of the refrigerator. You're like, what are you fussing about?
Fried chicken ham bone?
Yes, you know how black folks eat, you know. We're down south. So, you know, they get mad when people touch their food.
Well, he left us. Now, Roy, have you ever had an office job, man?
No. Nothing straight up like Office Space, Milton, TPS report type stuff. Nah, when I was coming up, I mostly did a lot of fast food and food service, Golden Corral, you know, stuff like that.
Okay. Yeah, I did that, and then I was able to kind of through school get myself into some office job positions, and I kind of been in those ever since, thank God, because you know that grease in that fried, man, it was hot.
That ain't nothing to play with.
Yeah, them fries, dog, they burn.
Yes, so. Ain't nothing worse than you walking to the doctor's office and everybody want pancakes because you work at our office. I want maple syrup. Yeah. Oh, man, come on.
Plus, every time you work at a food establishment, you always smell like that shit.
Yes, you do.
Like, you can't.
You can't like, help it.
It's like the smell of dreams dying.
Yes.
Yeah. Like, anybody want some fries? Damn, I want some fries. You're just like, man, I hate fries.
Yes.
All right, so he put a letter out. It says, I figured since we are having some difficulties with some of us that have problems with the simple assessment of what belongs to them and what is available in the refrigerator, I would identify in advance this issue.
Uh-oh.
Yes. This is
not going to go well.
This is like those Civil War letters that Roy was talking about on Conan.
Yes. He just refilled his ink.
He says, I have ginger ale in the refrigerator this morning. It clearly states my name and the word medicated.
Oh.
This is not a decoy. I'm preparing for my colonoscopy.
Oh.
And anyone that decides that a small sip would not matter, think again. Or you will be thinking this out sitting down in a room that identifies your gender.
Wow.
The ink.
Well, whoever just got up and ran to the bathroom, we know that's your ass.
Right. I don't know, man. He went hard for his ginger ale, dog.
But that's a warning to the whoever drink that. Know that they're going to be on the toilet for a while.
Yeah, I'm going to start doing this shit for anything I bring. I'm going to write different surgeries on my, like, fruit and shit, like apple and appendicitis. I'm just like, don't fuck with that. You don't. I know. You want your tonsillectomy?
Drink sandwich, heart medicine.
Yeah, Coke Zero tonsillectomy. Oh no!
Did
don't.
You say tonsillectomy?
Tonsillectomy. No, they go.
I'm confident. Yeah. I'm gonna just start making up words. It's gonna be that tonsillectomy. Oh Lord, no!
I don't want that. Whatever that is.
I think I heard Cornel West using that word the other day. I don't know what that is. I was talking to somebody the other day about, you know, cartoons when we were kids. Cause they were kind of saying that kids today have fucked up cartoons, and I don't necessarily agree. I think their cartoons are better than ours.
I do too.
Whatever, I'm not jealous. I got Cartoon Network and I'm an adult. I can watch them all. Fuck y'all. But, so I think Looney Tunes was, you know, of course, really fucked up. We had the rapist, Pepe Le Pew.
Yes.
You had racism with, like, Speedy Gonzalez.
Yes.
Slowpoke Gonzalez.
Yosemite Sam.
Yeah, well, Yosemite was, he might have been a racist.
Yes, yes.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Yes, Yosemite Sam was a straight up racist, yes.
Yeah, yeah, you could tell. Rationist, niggerish stuff. We're like, wait, what is that?
What?
How do you slide that in there? And then, of course, you had alcoholism. Remember that drunk stork?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They never told you what was in that bottle, but now that I'm an adult, I know that nigga was drunk.
It was pineapple and Malibu. He's getting lit on the job.
Of course, you have violence. You had Taz. Remember Tasmanian Devil?
Yes.
The nigga was ratchet. He was like the embodiment of ratchetness. He just rolled from tree to tree in the jungle and shit and killed people in the whole town. Yeah, he was terrible.
But you know what, though? I'll say this about, like, you remember the black mammy that used to take care of Tom and Jerry?
Yes.
You gotta say this about her. She never got beat on. She always seemed happy. At least she had a good master.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree. And she was loving and caring, too.
Yeah, it was definitely racist as hell, but she seemed to be happy that Master Charlie never beat her.
I wonder if there's any like outtakes of like Master Charlie coming home and showing us why he's so happy. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, you know she had the big black hips.
Yeah, she probably had some light skinned chick kids. You know what I'm saying?
Oh yeah.
But that like so yeah, you had that kind of racism in there and shit.
And you know what? I've always wondered what her outtakes would be. I wondered did she ever come home and drunk? But like, you know what, Tom? I'm gonna whoop your ass if you don't get that mouse today. I wonder if that's what her outfits would be like.
Well, I was wondering that if you, I wonder how many dudes got introduced to cross-dressing and transvestites through cartoons.
A lot.
Because remember how much, like, Bugs Bunny used to dress up like a woman and shit?
All the time.
And they would, like, put them, like, in, he put in, like, two dress, melons or something, and then, yes. like, put on lipstick and a tight high dress. Heels. And then all this allegedly heterosexual dudes in the cartoon would start wanting them.
Jerry would do that, too, the little mouse.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, I wonder how much, like, how many people as kids was introduced to it, like, huh? That ain't that bad. Everybody does want him.
Yes, and not it ain't that bad. I see Daddy do this too, so a lot of right. they might consider that as normal.
Mm-hmm. I imagine a young RuPaul on yep. Saturday morning. yeah. Like, that is what I want to be.
Yes.
Oh, feeling none of them.
I was always.
I watched like maybe an hour. My problem with Looney Tunes is that it wasn't violent enough, man. You know, it was cute for a quick laugh, but I mean, if it wasn't Daffy Duck or Marvin the Martian vaporizing niggas, I didn't want to watch.
That's true, man.
Give me a Transformer. Give me something with a missile. Something that shoot a laser beam.
Talking my language, Roy.
Do you think Marvin the Martian was the first Martian gangster? Because you know he had a gun. He would go from planet to planet. He had a fast-ass rocket ship.
Yeah.
And he would just shoot niggas for no reason.
Yeah. Except he had that fucked up voice.
It don't matter. You got a gun.
This is a good point. I actually saw one time where he had some bitches. He brought Daffy Duck or Bugs Bunny, one of them, to Mars with him. And then it was some Martian chicks that was checking them out. And I was like, whoa, why does he even come to Earth? There was no other dudes on the planet except just Marvin. I don't know. That dude was weird.
Very.
He wanted to hang out with Bugs too bad.
Too much. Bunny fur was looking good to that Martian.
Alright, so another thought I was having, cause y'all remember this Rapture thing just passed?
Yes.
You know, nobody I know made it, so I'm assuming that all y'all are heathens.
Yep, we you all know, here together.
I scheduled this show well in advance of Saturday, I'm just saying.
Yeah.
I was like, Roy will be here. I've seen these jokes and these prank calls.
He will be here with us.
God is like, God needed a prank call in heaven. And like, you know if Roy Wood Jr. ever passes, that is like, God must have needed prank calls in heaven. That is exactly what they're going
to say about me when I die. My pranks are not godly at all. And the last thing I want is anybody thinking, yeah, God wanted them up there to cuss at them like he did them old people in them pranks. No, that's just not good at all.
May I speak to Jesus? Is your toilet running? I'm like, what? What is this? Roy, is that you?
Yes, he would know your name. Yes.
But everybody laughed off, you know, this latest guy talking about the rapture coming. We all laughed at him. He was, oh, yeah. Man. Except for the people that gave him money. You know, those people got taken.
I understand why you give him money. Like, what the hell does that even...
Yeah, that part didn't make sense to me either. It's like, the rapture's coming, let me get that check. Why? If it's coming...
Yes, what do you need with money?
Ain't we rolling? Ain't we... What do we need this for? He's like, oh, don't worry about that part. But, and then also, you know, the Mormons, which is like the latest, and Scientology. These are the latest discovered, quote-unquote, religions and among the new societies or whatever, right?
Yes, sir.
How come we all laugh at the early... Like, religion is the only science where we laugh at the latest discoveries and not the old shit. Like, if somebody came out and told you, hey, man, we discovered that the Earth is actually rotating around the sun, we'd all go, hey, hooray for science. But if somebody came and told you, like, hey, we actually discovered that it's aliens, and that's really what gave us all these things to create the Earth, they, we fuck you, you stupid. You just came up with that yesterday.
Yes, and it's always been like that. Because I could imagine the first nigga to be like, you know what? the world ain't flat. If you go past that point, you won't fall off. I bet you that nigga got shot.
Right? I don't know. I mean, the Jeep, like, if I told you what's more believable, aliens gave us whatever, Thetans and all this shit, and that's the reason that everything on the earth exists, would you find that more believable if I was just like, man, it was a hippie that could walk on water? You'd be like, I don't know. No?
I think you were being lazy. I think you're being creatively lazy. It's like, dude, come on, man. Quit drinking and tell me the truth. What really happened? It's no different than Santa Claus. It's like, you want to believe this magical power stuff, but honestly, you know, you just got to go, you know what, my parents are liars. There's more logical reasons. And that's, to me, that's when we start questioning religion. Is once that Santa Claus lie sinks in, maybe Easter Bunny and Tooth Fairy. And I'm like, all right, you lied about them, and they're all imaginary people. This Jesus dude, I'm going to question him too for a little while.
Yeah, for all we know, he could have been a really good magician.
Yeah, and the funny part about that is when you tell people quit lying to your fucking kids, everybody wants to get mad at you for being an asshole for telling the kids the truth.
Yeah, That's true, man. But, you know, I'm just saying, in general, if we had, like, a study in the paper that said, USA Today says peanuts cause heart attack, we would all stop. Oh, I need to check my peanut intake. This is the latest report. It's cutting-edge shit.
But you know what?
But if I said, hey, I figured out that humans actually come from the sun, you'd be like, nigga, you are stupid. You just came up with that. It's impossible to know.
But you know how
the good thing about religion though is that it's a unifier of people. If you have like-minded people, they deserve to find the others who believe that type of stuff, you know, because I think it's a good way to help segregate the races, segregate the masses rather, so that we know where people need to go. Like a perfect example, the Heaven's Gate cult in Arizona. Everybody knows that story. The guy, they're convinced that some comet is coming to Earth. And when Earth goes through the tail of the comet, the aliens are going to come and pick us up and take us to the mothership. So they all bought brand new Nikes and did a mass suicide. They all, I don't know, they put some poison inside a Snickers bar or some shit. I don't know how they killed themselves, but... but they all took this poison and everybody died. Now... isn't that perfect? People who are that crazy that a comet is coming through, they deserve to die. Mm. They should die quickly.
That's a good point.
And that's the thing. I think crazy folk, if you want to sip some poison, you know what? Hey, let me call up my homeboy. He likes to sip poison too. Y'all motherfuckers can have catering, get you some Chick-fil-A biscuits, and have a nice spread. Then cure yourself.
You know what? On the last show, I proposed, what if the rapture would have came, would it have actually been better for everybody? Because, like, imagine if, like, all of those people were gone. You know, you don't have to worry about unemployment as much anymore. The overpopulation and, you know, the environment being messed up. Gay people could get married. You ain't got to have all these abortion rallies and anti-abortion rallies. Like... to some extent, things might have got better.
Yeah, it would have been some better people. I just think if you believe in the rapture, my only thing is this: if you believe the world is going to end, and you tell us the world is going to end, that the world does not end, everyone should get one stab on you. I'm not gonna say kill, but just one good solid gut stab. Just so that you'll think twice before opening your mouth again. Because that way, the next time you start talking that world gonna end shit, you're gonna double check with Jesus. You'll send him a text message and confirm it. Are you sure, God? Don't stand me up. Look what they did to me last time.
I'm just trying to imagine what was his sermon like on Sunday? Oh, geez. Oh, boy.
Oh,
I really...
But he came out, and that's what he said. Oh, it's October 22nd is what it was.
Wow. why is there egg on my face? Oh, well, I forgot to carry the one. And it's actually 2011 plus 6 months. I'm sorry, everybody will be back.
Wow.
Keep donating the money, though. Keep donating the money.
Keep your fundraisers going.
Keep my PayPal tight. So, as a comedian, man, I know that means you're kind of a wordsmith. So I got two words I want to ask you about. And this comes up in comedy a lot. You probably been asked this before, and I hate asking people questions that have been asked before, but it came up on our website today because I made a post on our Facebook page about the word nigger, which is probably my number one favorite word in the world. I use it as much as possible when not in a professional environment. I love it. So I said the N-word is the only slang term that white people invented first, and it stuck too. It's the same meaning that it had back when they started using it. It wasn't co-opted and changed in the meaning. It still means the same shit, black people. And black people made it too cool for white people to ever have it back, so they have to use words like secret Muslim, thug, Tyler Perry fan. Yes, things like, you know, things that mean nigger. Things that mean nigger, but not, you know, but it don't mean nigger, you know what I'm saying? So, some person asked a question, and I want to get his name right, so I'm going to look up. Desmond. He asked a question. He says, I work at a bar with a lot of young whites. That's different than young jock. That's not a rap group. They throw the word around. I've had that big self-righteous conversation with white coworkers before, but yeah, it's in the music. The ones who say it a little too much, they know by how much I limit my conversation with them that I don't like them for some reason. But there are whites who, when they say it, I don't even notice. And he wanted to know, is it okay, like, when do you call out a white person for using nigga, if ever, and is it okay? Now, I know in comedy, you know, people use it for joke effects and things like that, but comedians are the wordsmiths of today. How do you feel about that word, and especially when white people say it, like, what is the deal with that? How do you treat it?
I got a two-part answer. First part is, I don't use the N-word on stage. I don't say the N-word. Partly because the Def Jam era of black comics ran that word into the ground, that you run the risk as a black comic with any type of content in your material of being lumped in with more inadequate black comics. There's no disrespect to comics who do use the N-word. I just think some club owners and some people in the crowd are just very presumptuous. And for me, it's about making sure that I make it perfectly clear that I'm trying to stand apart from anything that you've seen before. And if you're a black comic and you want to be different, the first thing you got to do is quit saying nigger for a little while. I don't use it on stage. I can probably say in 12 years of comedy, I probably said the word twice on stage. I think I said it on Def Jam in 07. It's on YouTube. I think that's probably the only time I said the word. Now, off stage, nigga shit, I say that shit every fucking hour. That's my word. It's in the way professionally. Now, professionally, it gets in the way. But when I'm just sitting at a barbecue drinking, but I don't say nigga. I don't just go, hey, nigga, what's up, nigga? That's too easy. It's lazy. I always use nigga with a modifier. That is the important thing about nigga. When you group nigga with another cuss word, or a particular adjective, musty nigga, fuck nigga, bitch nigga, fuck bitch ass, musty ass nigga. Like, that's when it becomes beautiful, because nigga is the white sheet of paper. The words make it origami. How beautiful can you fold this word? How can you make this word? How can you serve this up to other people? Punk puss ass nigga, really? That's a good one. Double word score. As far as white people use it, first of all, if a white comic is using it appropriately, I don't trip off of it. You can't get all slavery on somebody because they said the word. It's all about context. Comedian Doug Stanhope has one of the best uses of the word nigga. I'm sure it's on YouTube somewhere. If you YouTube Doug Stanhope, I fucked a midget. It's a bit about him having sex with a midget and all of this shit, and he uses the word nigger in the joke, and it's beautiful. And they're trying to give Zach Galifianakis shit right now with this Hangover 2 movie. Mm-hmm. And the Hangover 2, his character uses nigger, and everybody's going, you can't do that because you're white. Well, motherfucker, I'm playing a character. Right. I am acting. Motherfuckers love to act like when you act and all of a sudden you really that person when you do something indecent. So, you know, that, I think if you got a white friend that's just throwing it around, you got to check them on that. You got to be like, yo, and the way I always come at them is like, yo, I don't mind. But if that nigga over there hear you, he going to murder you. Like, I don't come at white people on some fucking black panther. Yo, man, look, that word and my people and oppression, I just think, I just go, look, man, I don't have a gun. But some black people do. So it would behoove you to just not say that word. All right. So just calm down. And the only other thing I do sometimes with white people in the word nigga, like you ever run up on one of those white dudes that think they, but one of them Paul Wall type white boys.
Yeah.
Like wiggers, as they like to call. Every now and then, if I meet a white dude that's trying real hard to be black, I'll call him my nigga. Just to make him feel good. Like, nothing makes a white guy that's trying to be black. It just makes him feel good. And you can see it in his, trust me, you can see the gleam and smile on his, wow, he called me nigger. What an honor. Yes. I'm in. They like me.
Yeah, I once stole my white friend's House of Pain tape. House of Pain that made Jump Around?
Yes.
I think that's the name of it.
Yes.
I got that confused, that Tyler Perry bullshit.
Yes, so you stole a Tyler Perry tape? What?
Yeah. But I once stole his House of Pain tape because I said he was my nigga, man. I was like, let me borrow this for the summer. He was like, no, man, I just got it. And I was like, come on, my nigga. He was like, okay, you got a tape. I kept that shit. Never came back to school. Yeah, and the way I feel about it is like, I had a couple friends try me when I started getting white friends. You know, they just try to throw it out there like, hey, we'll talk around Rod the way we always talk. And they threw it out there one day and I was just like, hey, not around me. I don't even give a fuck if you say it as a sign of friendship. I would appreciate if you don't say it around me because there's a lot of shit I hold back about white people around y'all. Y'all don't even want to know.
A lot of the talk.
Common that's courtesy. Right. It is common courtesy.
But on one hand, it's like, all right, fine. But you know what? Honestly, if you're a black person under the age of 35, shut the fuck up about the N-word. It's not like, you came up in a different America. We both did. And like, my argument is that they go, oh, don't you say that word because of what that word means. Nah, please. Unless you got dog-like wounds or you was in one of them civil rights fire hose pictures, you're like, I can understand, like, if a white guy came in and said, what's up, my nigga? And then you see some 70-year-old black man going to a civil rights flashback. Okay, that's 5,000. Don't say it around him. Yeah, he's traumatized by that word. That word really does bring back memories. But if your first memories as a child of fucking Fresh Prince of Bel-Air reruns, you're not getting fucking... like, traumatized by this word. I don't know. I just, if you really hate it, cool. I just think that a lot of black people that claim to hate the N-word, they just want some bandwagon shit with other black people. Bunch of fucking sheep who don't want to break off from the flock.
Now, see, I agree with that. Like, I listen to a podcast, Keeping the Girl, and sometimes they use the N-word in the context of a joke. That never bothers me. You know what I mean? But I do think in the context of the conversations I was having, at the time and how it was thrown out there, it was a test moment. You know what I mean? Like, it wasn't I just happened to be saying this. It was, I want to see if I can get this by Rod and see if he doesn't say shit. And I had to be like, hey, man, come on. We can't be kicking it like that. Right. Yeah, it was like, it would have been like if somebody was like, you know what, Rod, your wife is a bitch. Anyway, like, I had to be like, hey, come on now. I ain't threatened to kill the man or nothing, but it was just one of those, like, listen, if you're gonna say it, just try not to say it around me, and if you say it around me, I just, you know, I might not hang out with you as much. That's it. I'm not gonna freedom march into your house or Like, I'm not gonna do shit. I love when people be like, man, I'll whoop your ass. I'm not gonna do shit. I'm not catching a case over the N-word. I can't tell my dad that shit. My dad seen real racism. I can't be like, yeah, man, he said the N-word, so I punched him. He's like, what? That was it? You know, like, he didn't make you sit in the back of the bus. He didn't make you walk around the back of the building or nothing. Nah, man, just, he slipped up and said nigga. He was doing some lyrics and he fucked up.
Yeah, man. I don't say anything. Like, I don't even pretend. When old black people come in the room, I just be quiet. I don't even talk. Cause they you have the floor. Like, when an old black dude comes in the barbershop, you ever had an old black person just start telling you their civil rights stories and shit?
Yes! Out the blue, you didn't ask for it. They were like, well, boy, let me tell you what happened in 1952. I was out minding my business.
You don't know nothing about the struggle, motherfucker. I was out there in that shit. Goddamn, the crackers put them dogs on us, shit.
And then it shakes. Yeah. When it says it, the Harlem shakes.
Man, this dude told me one time, I was actually at a meeting about my academic, this group I was in where I got a internship. And this guy sat at our table, and we were bitching, you know, man, we were like 18, we didn't know shit about the world, and we were just bitching, like, you know, it was kind of racist how Ken said the other day that so-and-so was on CP time. I mean, you don't gotta bring that up. And then he came over and gave us a story about desegregating a school that the nigga sang Negro spirituals and everything at our table. I'm not making it up. It was, he said they were making up shit on the fly, like they was freestyling Negro spirituals together. Everybody was on the front. It's like, we shall not be moved. And then somebody would move them and be like, you won't be moving us again. And everybody was on the front. And he had, and I was like, man, I gotta stop bitching about this shit. It's not helping. It made me look bad. I felt ashamed of my racist. I was like, I wish I had some real racism to spit back with them.
And when you was talking about your white friends, and like you say, a lot of times what a lot of white people fail to realize, just like y'all have thoughts about black people have thoughts about y'all too. Mm-hmm. And you would not appreciate me coming and you talking. You know what, cracker? I had some cracker and cheese today, and guess what? It was delicious. You would think I was an asshole. That's how it feels when you out the blue call somebody a nigga, and it was unexpected. And back to what you were saying before, for me, it's the tone of it. I don't care anything about the word and how it's used, because like you say, I didn't get beat, I didn't get my ass whooped, I ain't picked no cotton, so I don't have those same connections. But at the same time, it's the tone and the perspective that is brought across. Is it brought across to me in anger? Is it brought across to me in hatred? You're gonna get a different response than you will get from a different tone. And for me too, it's also the context that is in, for me personally, that makes a difference to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree with that. I can agree with that. The other word I wanted to ask you about, the word hate. I was tweeting about something earlier today, and I can't remember what I hated. It was something stupid, like, oh man, I hate such and such. And every once in a while, I get like these people out the blue that go, hey man, you shouldn't use the word hate, man. That's a very strong word to say about Tyler Perry or whatever the fuck, right? And I'm like, what the fuck do you think I'm gonna do? Like, quit my job, go stalk this nigga and kill him? I just use it in common vernacular like we use in society all the time. I don't literally hate this motherfucker.
Because people don't understand how to separate the actual intention from the word. They like to put it all together. You know, my buddy, late comedian Mike DiStefano, he's got a joke on his last CD with something similar where he talks about people saying the word awesome. Like, how was the party last night? Oh, it was awesome. He goes, I'm doing it. I'm not doing the joke justice, but he says, unless it was a fucking mountain, it probably wasn't that awesome. Unless it's something, a canyon, something, some shit on the earth, it's not awesome. Quit using that word. And he's right. You know, it's one of those things where, you know, man, I hate that. I can't stand that. You don't hate it. You don't go home thinking about it. The Klan hated black people. So you have to use that as the barometer of what true hate is. But just because you use that word doesn't mean that you're at that level. I'm pretty, like, I hate reality TV. I do. I can't stand it, which is ironic considering I was on Last Comic Standing. But even still, you know, even slave owners bang their slaves every now and then just to see what it's like. I hate reality TV, but I'm not going to go rob by the producers' houses and leave a burning cross in their front yard. You better leave town. We want scripted dramas in this here part of the country. And ride off on my fucking horse.
We will not stand for that.
But that's my point, man. Like, I was clearly using it in just...
Come on out here and explain the Braxtons, you son of a bitch.
I don't get it.
Explain the ignorant shit.
Dot com what? I don't get it. But, yeah, that, like, that's the thing, man. Like, they acted like that's how Hitler decided to kill the Jews. Like, he's just sitting around one day like, you know what? I hate Jews, man. Don't y'all hate them? And then next thing you know, they was fucking doing concentration camps. I don't think that's how it happens. It's just, like, hate in common, in our common fucking English language is like, hey, I hate Mondays. I'm not trying to get it abolished from the calendar.
No.
I just mean I don't like it.
Yeah.
It ain't that fucking serious, man. I'm tired of people, these fucking hippies, hitting me up. Well, you shouldn't use hate. It's a very strong word. Okay, I hate you. Leave me the fuck alone. The other phrase that is totally misused, or not misused, but needs to have more detail. You ever read an article and it says there were no serious injuries? Like, I read an article the other day and it was like somebody got shot in the arm, but there were no serious injuries.
Isn't getting shot in the arm serious? It's serious to me.
Who gets to decide what's a fucking serious injury?
No, put that there. They must have said there's no deaths.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, just say no life-threatening.
Yes.
But if there's blood coming out of my body, that's serious, motherfucker. There's not supposed to be blood coming out of your body at any time. That is just one of the rules of the human body. We have pads and gauze, and half the first aid aisle is dedicated to shit that keeps blood inside of your body. So, you know what? If there's blood coming out of my body, that's serious. Or just say nobody died. Just, you know, change the word player.
Nobody was in critical condition.
Yeah, no one gets shot and laughs. No one's like, ha 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 ha. You shot me in my arm. You know what I mean? It's always fucking serious. All the injuries are serious,
not
man.
Not unless you like the serial killer and Scream or something like that.
I mean, even if you got, like, shot in, like, say, your jack-off arm, that's serious.
Ah, yes.
That is a serious fucking problem.
Especially if your woman ain't gonna help. You in trouble.
Yeah, that's a serious, even, it's serious for her now. Now she got extra work to do around the house.
That is a very serious injury.
Exactly. Yes. I don't get this shit, man.
Alright, you get shot and stuff. I'm trying my best to fix that on because I ain't trying to do no extra work.
Yeah, I think the witness should be the one to tell you how serious the shit is.
Ask the witness, not the cops.
But honestly, though, that's guy's fault for marrying a lazy chick who isn't down to jack him off in a hospital bed while he recovers. Yeah. Much as I didn't take care of you, you want to jack me off for a couple of weeks? We got another person in this room. Just pull the curtain round. He can't see you.
On the 1st and 15th, you're not lazy. You know what
just
I mean?
Just being inconsiderate. That's why nobody likes you. Well, I flirt with these hoes on Facebook because your ass won't jack me off in the hospital bed.
The strippers will do it. They'll do it. They just go to the back room, man. I like to give, I was listening to the Haterazzi podcast. I know you were on that show, the Haterazzi radio show. That was another great interview with you.
Yes, it was.
Matter of fact, if you guys want to hear an actual interview of Roy Wood Jr., because we don't really do interviews that much here, go to the Haterazzi radio show, man. That is a really good interview. They get really in depth. But he was talking about little kids and talking to them and giving them advice and how that can change a kid's whole life. Like, you know, something somebody said to you when you're little about what do you want to be when you grow up and what you need to do. Something like that might help you out in life. And I realized that I do that a lot from the opposite way. Like, I give kids bad advice But it's good advice. Like they'll say, like I'll say, hey, little man, what you want to be when you grow up? And they'll say, like, oh, I want to be a basketball player or something. I'm like, oh, that's cool, man. That's what I wanted to do, too. Except I didn't do it. I didn't have no, what's your backup plan? I don't have a backup plan. Maybe NFL. I'm like, that was my backup plan. Now look at me. King of the YMCA.
They're going to be like, you old ass bomb.
Yeah, I tell them. Like, I got on drugs. I dropped out of school because things wasn't going right.
My wife left me.
Yeah. I'm like, man, but listen, don't give up on your dreams. Be just like me. I'm sorry I don't have health insurance. And shit like that'll convince them, man. I think I convince kids to do the right thing by negative reinforcement.
Yes, you do. There ain't no white kids out there to watch.
Yeah, they all are white, though.
They are.
I don't even think they need this advice.
No, they don't. They got two parents that will be on their asses. They will be owning you, son.
And the other thing, I've been playing this video. You play video games at all, Roy?
Yeah.
You ever played, there's this new game called L.A. Noir. They've been doing a lot of advertisements for it.
Yeah, L.A. Noir. It's kind of like the sexier Grand Theft Auto, basically.
Yeah. Set in the 1940s L.A., and you're a police detective. And I'm going to tell you something, man. I'm not a good police detective. If I don't use the online, like, cheating guys and shit, I can't read these faces for shit, man.
Oh, you can't? Oh, I need to stay awake longer then. I'm sorry, I'm not too much.
Karen's good at it. She just sits in the back and she'd be like, oh, that nigga lying. I'd be like, oh, so X? Okay, so he's lying. Okay, obviously.
Hello?
Hey, put Randolph on the phone.
Hold on just a minute.
Hello?
Hey, Randolph.
Yeah.
How you doing? This is Cleveland.
Yeah.
You did some work on this lady June, Explorer. The brake work?
Yeah.
I got a shop over here on Broad Street. Now, June brought this over here to me, man. And she told me to get with you because you the one that had the truck last. And I'm trying to figure out what the hell you done tow up under here.
What you mean, what's tow up
well,
under
here? Well, some of that shit with them calipers, brother. Them calipers and them rotors. And I'm telling her she need to come back and get that money from you because I'm going to charge about $700 to get that done. They need
what?
To get this out yourself. It's all kinds of shit tow up under that truck. And that's something you certified?
Yeah, I am.
Well, this work don't look certified, brother. Why are you doing that to people's cars?
Man, I don't know what you're talking about. I ain't do nothing but put brakes on that. Well, she needed rotors before, and we knew that. One of them calipers was sticking. It'll go in and out, but it'll stick.
She said she told you to fix them calipers, and something ain't been took care of, but whatever it was, it's all tore up underneath there. So we're going to get all that took care of, and what I just want to go ahead and do is get your address so I can go and swing by, get somebody to get that good check from you.
Yeah, you got me wrong.
That way June ain't got to deal with nothing on your end.
Well,
as
I'm
far
so
as
sorry.
Check.
I ain't got nothing to do with that. Man, I ain't got time for that. I got to go.
Look here. Hello?
The person you called is...
Hello?
Tell Randolph I'm going to come over there and slap both of y'all for playing these games and hanging up the phone. If he's certified...
Look, ain't nobody playing no damn game.
You need to go ahead and...
Just hold on a minute. Here, just talk to this motherfucker.
I don't want to talk to him. Don't call my house.
Don't hang up. Just say...
I'm hanging up the
phone. Don't hang up the phone.
Hello? Come to the phone. Quit being a coward. You did bad work, and you need to be held accountable for it, you coward.
Whatever you say.
Come get slapped in the mouth two times,
Come
brother.
Get what?
Come get slapped in the mouth.
Oh, no, you don't know me.
Come over to Broad Street.
You don't know me, and you don't want to know me.
Come over to Broad Street and let
that,
me introduce
What's the address?
383.
383?
I ain't nobody scared of you.
Okay, 383 Broad Street.
I got something in the trunk make you act right.
You better have it in your hand. You better not have it in the truck. You better have it in your hand.
I got something in the trunk. Make you act right. I call it.
Well, you don't need. You better have it in the trunk. It better be out the trunk when I get there. 383 Broad.
I call it Joel Osteen because it brings you.
Call
close,
it Joel Osteen
because it brings you closer to Jesus.
Oh well, see, brother, you just might as well go and say your piece then, cause if I get there and you ain't got it out, then you gonna meet Jesus.
Why can't you just bring the money? What? Why can't you just bring the money, Randolph?
I'm gonna bring something better than the money.
You did this. Brick work
I'm gonna
you.
Bring something better than the money. I'm
you,
bringing myself. So one of us gonna see Jesus today. So
you
383
them.
Broad.
Hallelujah.
Bye.
Hallelujah.
The person you called is no longer on.
Hello.
All right, let's let him off the hook.
You down in the room, get the gun.
For real? Oh.
Hold on.
Yeah. Get the phone. It ain't the man. It's somebody else.
Got a gun. Hello? Randolph, this comedian Roy Wood Jr., man. It's a prank phone call, bruh.
Oh, okay.
Your wife told me to prank call you, man, for your anniversary, man. I'm sorry for getting you riled up, man.
Oh, okay.
okay.
You went to go get the gun for real?
Oh, yeah.
You was going to go.
Boy, you going to make my husband kill somebody.
Did he really pull the gun out?
Yeah, it was on his way out the door. I wish I had a video camera.
Thank you so much, Lee.
All right, thank
Lee.
You.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
For people that's listening, because I normally don't edit shit out. Just, we lost Roy for a second. He's back now. So,
yes.
If we repeating shit, you know,
that's why.
You got extra free podcast.
Yes, you did.
So, I've been playing that L.A. Noire game. And, as a detective, I'm terrible reading the fucking faces. It never works, man. And Karen's great at it.
Yes.
Like, she just be in the background. Like, that nigga's lying. I'd be like, okay, the X button. So, he's lying. Yes. And, oh, so that's why he had the underwear in his house. He shouldn't have had those
That's
there.
Right.
You know, like, nobody wore gloves. That's one thing I'm noticing.
They didn't.
They just pick up shit at the crime scene.
Yes.
Walk over dead bodies.
Unsanitary. They don't get sick in this video game.
Yeah, and then the only way to get somebody convicted, you got to get them to confess.
Oh.
Which is extremely hard to do unless you're willing to beat a nigga's ass, apparently.
Wow.
So it made me realize that I've been way too hard on cops. From back in the day, man, racism is the easiest way to solve crimes. It really is. Like,
wow.
If I would just have been like, yo, man, it's probably this Mexican dude, and just left it at that, I probably would have like 100% cases solved on my docket. But because I keep trying to use the clues and the evidence to figure out which white man is lying to me, it keeps making the shit harder and harder.
Wow.
So I gotta stop. I gotta stop talking about racist cops, man. I know I'll be wishing there was just like a racism button where I could just be like, fuck it, man. Just beat him. The one with the darker skin, obviously he did the shit. He's the one that discovered the body and reported the crime.
You can.
Yeah. What was you gonna say, Roy? You said you had a thought on it.
There was a cop game that was even tougher than that. I can't think of the name of it. I think the name of it was True Crime LA.
I've heard of that.
You are an undercover cop, and you get to decide how deep undercover you go, whether or not you want to commit a crime to help solve a case, or whether or not you want to do drugs. Like, you'll be in the middle of a drug deal, and the guy will be like, I do some drugs, so I know you're not a cop. And if you do the drugs, you solve the case, and you move the case forward, but now for the rest of the game, you're addicted to fucking heroin.
Wow.
And your drug addiction fucks with your gameplay, it fucks with your ability to do things, and sometimes it gets to a point where you can't even close a case because by the end of the game, you're just a crackhead and you die. Like, it's very interesting. You get to dictate your own fate, man. Like, and I find that to be really cool, where it's like a video game so that way you can draw your own ending.
Mm.
And sometimes for fun, back when this game used to be on the display in Best Buy, I just get all the drugs and just do them all. I wouldn't turn them into the evidence locker and shit. Just do all the dope. And you see the guy, like, and the game was all warped when you're on drugs. I just leave that up to show kids how great drugs are.
Wow, this must be based off of 24, because though Jackass was throwing some drugs.
Yeah, a lot of dirty cops do drugs. I think they should have, like, crackhead the game, man, and teach these kids that it's not as fun as it looks.
No.
It's not what it's all cracked up to be. No fun
intended.
You
get extra points for stealing family member shit. And,
yeah.
And breaking in and entering.
Yeah, you have a mission, like, steal the antennas off of your grandmama's TV and sell them shits. Like, that was a tough mission.
Try not to get locked up for 24 hours.
Yeah, exactly, man. And of course, you have superpowers, like, of course, crackhead speed.
Oh, very, nobody, very quickly.
No,
you
it's
can't,
impossible
can't
to catch
that.
Them. It's impossible. And the last random thought that I had was, and this is gross. Like, this is one of those thoughts that was in the recesses of my mind, and when it came out, I was ashamed of myself. I was almost not even sure I was going to put this on the show. Like, that's how dirty this thought is. But you know how sometimes you'll see dudes complain about, single dudes, well, hopefully they single, but you'll see them complain about the time that they tried to sleep with a woman and she had a nasty smell coming out of her insides.
Whoa.
That's right, yes, out of the vagina, Karen. That's correct. It's not what dudes
I call that the seafood market.
It's like fish for sale.
Oh.
And a lot of every dude has that horror story about that shit, you know. Although, for the record, Never heard a woman have her horror story about the time her shit was stinking. Neither here nor there, ladies. Neither here nor there. But,
but believe me, she knows. You better say, nah, not tonight. She knows.
I'm just saying,
right.
Every dude got this story, but no woman has ever had a not-so-fresh day. But anyway, I'm just saying.
No, she may have had times when his balls may have stunk when she trying to suck his dick.
See, but dudes will admit that. Like, she knew I've been playing ball all day. I cut the grass. What does she expect? I'm not a perfect man. But, you know how the dudes will talk about that story, and they'd be like, well, what should I have done? What do you do? You know, most dudes just say, I just don't have sex with her. I try to be nice, but there's no nice way out of that situation.
No, it's not.
So what I was thinking is people should start using that opportunity as a teachable moment, and you just put it in. I mean, which, you know, maybe you have hopefully you have a condom or something. Don't just go in there raw. Fellas. I've seen some of these kids on the streets. Don't do that shit. But you go, you put it in, and then you ask her to do oral. Because it's like rubbing a dog's face in the stuff whenever they, you know, shit in the house or something like that. Like, it's kind of like you teaching them, see this shit? This is unacceptable. Now you have to deal with it, too. What do you think about that, Karen? Would that work on you?
No, we just know.
See? You don't like it. That's the point.
No, and it's actually very disgusting, because I know being a woman, you got a lot of things going on, and you know, it's not like a penis is straight in there all the time and just does his own thing. It's just too much going on. And odds are, she knows she stank before she pulled her drawers down. So
which
why
is her fault.
Why do we even go there? Just say, no, not tonight, baby.
But she won't learn from that experience. This way, she will always remember that time. Like, oh, I remember that. I will never do that again.
Yeah, but here's the difference between her and a dog's face and shit. You guaranteed to be with the dog for life. You can leave her.
That's the truth.
If a straight animal shit in the street, you wouldn't go rub its face to let it know it's shit in the grass. Not your dog. You don't have to deal with it.
That's a good
now, if you're committed to this woman, you know, what you do, this is so nasty. People are gonna judge me after this. You finger her. You get in the foreplay and you put your fingers inside of the seafood market. And then at some sort of crazy moment of passion, you try to get her to suck your fingers.
Oh, yes. That's right. She'd be like,
And you know
you want
what?
Red Lobster tonight? You'd be like, what? That is not the reaction I want.
No. Something's terribly going wrong with you. It's supposed to smell fresh. You're supposed to say, baby, did you dush? I mean, especially if y'all been together. Nigga, you stank. Just come out and tell the truth. I'm sorry.
I know a lot of these dudes, you know, they're in these relationships where they can't really talk openly with their woman, which is their fault.
And 100% their fault.
Yeah, it's their fault. But I'm just saying. I was trying to come up with a solution. I'm a solution-oriented person, Karen.
Yes, you know, and I don't have a problem with that. But sex is supposed to smell good. It ain't supposed to stink.
We all are agreeing right now. I agree with that. I'm just saying, in cases of off night, everybody got to suffer. You can't just be alone in this. There's too many dudes suffering in silence. And you sitting there. There's some dude right now listening to the show that went ahead and did that and was like, man, I took one for the team. And he's regretted that his whole life. And he's like, Rod, yes. That is correct. That is what I should have did.
And I bet you some nigga right now that's been cut because he done some stupid shit like that.
You know what?
I'm sorry.
That's another phrase we could do without. I'm sick of this take one for the team. The team didn't tell you to run up in that. Don't act like you can respect us. Don't act like we're supposed to respect you because you just got to do it. Man, I'm not going to get into my irresponsible dating history, but I'll say this. There's nothing wrong with not having sex every now and then.
Thank
it's okay,
you.
Though. It's just because the girl's there and she's naked doesn't mean you have to. There's not some sort of unwritten code that you're supposed to beat guts just because you've gotten this far. Fucking airplanes abort landings right before the tires hit the runway. They pull right back up and go, no, this ain't right. You could do the same thing. Watch the Discovery Channel. You ever seen those fighter jets? They land on the aircraft carrier and they touch down. If something ain't right, they pull right back up and go right back around.
Hey, story.
There's nothing wrong with that.
That's the story of my life, Roy. If I told you how many naked chicks I have had to turn down, you know what I'm saying? You know how we get down, brother. I was like, no, lady.
Just say, hey, I didn't bring any condoms, you know, and whatever brand she pulls out, you're allergic to that brand.
Mm-hmm.
And plus, you know, if a woman keeps condoms, that's just disturbing. And that just, I don't know, it's something about when a woman goes, hey, I got the rubbers. Like, hold on, you got too many protocols already in place here.
Hey, man.
I don't know if I'm comfortable with that.
Women like to have sex too, Roy.
I know it's so. You better be prepared.
Now, I would worry about the quantity, though. If she broke that shit out from like a 20-pack and it was like three left, I'd be like, hold up. Hold up, man. I can do math.
If she broke out the box of 200.
Yeah. She's like, hold on. You reminded me. I need to go on eBay and I got to get another value pack. Then I would be like, okay, ma'am, that is too far. If she had like one or two in emergency, I'd be all right.
And on top of that, this is the thing. If she stinks, something's going wrong.
Right.
And you know what? Whatever hand you ejaculate with is probably more disease-free than her coochie.
That's true.
Or maybe that's just my opinion.
Yeah, I just feel bad for like gynecologists that go on dates. Like, do they immediately just go, hold on, I know what this is.
Yes, they probably smell it. They're like, ooh, you smell like you have a whiff of gonorrhea?
He's like, I'm writing you a prescription. Just, you need to take two of these in the morning and I'll see you in a week.
Yes.
But, Those are all my random thoughts, man. We have articles to do, man. I know we've kind of taken up a lot of your time and whatnot. And we appreciate you definitely hollering at the show, Roy, man. It was a big look, man. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Straight up off of Twitter, man. The Twitter thing is doing good, man. All I got to do is go on there and just be funny. And crazy shit happens all the time, man. And like I said, I've been a fan since... As ironic as that is, I know I don't like reality shows that are competitions, but I watched yours because I like Mike Kaplan. And then I
love Cap, yeah.
That dude, he's hilarious, man. And I was watching him, and then I think you were coming up, pardon me if I'm wrong, but did they say you were from Charlotte when you were on that show?
Did they say that I was from Charlotte?
Yeah, because I couldn't remember.
No.
I know there was two black comedians. One they said was from Charlotte.
Morazio Vance. Okay. That's the other cat. He was the other black comic in the top 10. Morazio Vance is from Charlotte. Yeah.
Okay. I was like, that is not true. But, yeah, man, I saw you on there, man. You had some funny sets, man. And, you know, I actually watched that one to completion, man. And I'm glad they didn't do, like, the house shit. Because that I hate the extra bullshit. Like, just go be funny and let's vote.
Yeah.
None of us would have done it. Because every comic that was on that, I mean, whether or not you agree with who won or who was in the top 10, it couldn't be said that we weren't all real comics. Whether or not you thought we were funny was one thing, but we were real comics. We weren't clowns in gorilla suits. We weren't people with 2 years of experience. And nobody wanted to do the show if it was going to be all of the regular bullshit, man.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, a lot of guys were basically, the producers pretty much had to make a promise to us that, yo, it's not going to be a house. It's not going to be dumb shit. You're going to be judged joke for joke. An American Idol, they didn't have to do challenges and bullshit. You just go up and sing every week, and whoever likes you. And then the icing on the cake was when they added Andy Kindler and the late Greg Giraldo as judges on the show. And all of the comics were like, bet, if Greg Giraldo says I suck, then you know what? I'll deal with that.
Right, yeah.
So
they
had a respectable format, they had respectable judges, so, you know, everybody decided to go ahead and audition. And it led to a pretty, what I think to be the strongest top 10 in the history of the show. In my opinion, I think comic for comic, we were stronger than any other season of Last Comic Standing.
Mm. Yeah, I've only watched that one season because, like, I hate when they make them do competitions, but I didn't know that it was going to be the way it was, where it was just straight up joke for joke. I've only called in and voted for two people, and that was you and Mike Kaplan. And every week, I've never called in the shit else on TV because I know it's all fake. Not even infomercials, Roy. I'm serious. I don't call shit if it's on TV. They could be like, if that fucking, the commercial where it's like, if you imbibe some poison and you need some help, I'd be like, no, I saw that number on TV, I'd die. But I called and said, I'm voting for this dude, man. I thought you were real funny. So, man, I appreciate you taking time out to be on the show, man.
Man, I appreciate y'all for having me. I'm so far from being on some celebrity bullshit, man.
No doubt, man. I see you on Twitter and stuff like that too, man. I'm surprised you don't have a lot more followers so far, man.
Cause I'm not on there enough. The Twitter, you gotta live on Twitter in order to really benefit from it. Like, you gotta really be on that shit, man. Like, you gotta be around the clock with it. And I tweet, you know, it's kind of high tide and low tide, you know. Like, I'm not really, like, I'll be on there. I'll go on Twitter and go hard for 2-3 days in a row, and then I won't fuck with it for about a week. And then I'll go back on and do, you know, another 2 days or so in a row. So, you know, like, you take a guy, I tell you some comments that tweet pretty good. Lil Duval is, like, he just tweets just constantly, constantly, constantly. And there's a science to Twitter and getting people to follow you, and sometimes you gotta follow people back, and you know, I just, it ain't that deep to me. I'm starting to go back and forth with myself about deleting my Twitter page or deleting my Facebook page and just going underground, man. Like, if you really like me, you'll find me. Like, just pulling the shit off of YouTube, stripping my website down to the bare basics. Because, you know, a buddy of mine and I, we were talking, this comedian Henry Coleman, mm-hmm. we're talking about the internet has ruined the mystique.
Yes.
Of comedy. First of all, it's affected your growth curve because you can't even do a new joke and get it together because, you know, God forbid somebody posts a joke when it's fledged on stage and now everybody's going to be like, that joke sucks. Not realizing that joke needs some time to grow. And one of the things that drove comedy, I believe, early on, was word of mouth. One of the most hating ass things somebody ever said to me after a show, this girl came up to me and she goes, you know, you're funny, I like you. We YouTubed you before we came. Motherfucker, why wasn't just your friends, keep funny, let's go, good enough? Like, now the internet has turned everybody into a critic. It's made everybody want to decide and assess and perceive and all of that stuff first before even deciding to come out. And it's just, you know, social media as a whole, I love it because it's something you can get drunk on and say irresponsible shit without, because you used to have to do that in a club or a Waffle House. Get you arrested. So now you can say dumb shit and then wake up in the morning and delete it and like it never even happened. Somebody hacked my account. That's why I did all that. Mail gets the shit. You can't do that in the club. You can't do. Somebody hacked my throat. I don't know why I just said that you was fat as fuck. I'm sorry, baby. I didn't know how it is. These computer hackers get inside your throat. Make you say stuff.
Now I want to pose the other side of that coin, though, to you as somebody that, you know, uses social media. And I'm not a comedian or anything, so, you know, I'm not making money really doing that. It's not hurting my career at all. But I would pose that it's actually put me on to more people. Yeah. Then it's actually turned me away from it. I worry about comedians a lot of times because I feel like comedians sometimes have like a self-defeatist gene in them. Where it's kind of to be a good comedian, you probably have to, because you have to be able to say like, this shit ain't funny, and this shit, I don't know why people even laughing at this shit. Who gives a fuck what I say when now, you know, and then you go out there and you do your thing, but because you're such a harsh critic on yourself, that's what keeps your comedy above other people's, you know, ideas of their comedy or whatever. But I would say that, you know, like, finding out that you were on Twitter was definitely, like, a big thing for me. I actually just added you on my Facebook. that, I think that kind of stuff helps comedians a lot, man. And it definitely, you know, I know where you might feel that that's an insult that somebody will actually have to YouTube you to say if I'm gonna go see it, cause that is kind of fucked up. It's also kind of like in this new age, a compliment. Because I guarantee there's other people they say, hey man, go check this out. And then they went to their YouTube page and was like, fuck that nigga ain't funny. And then they decided not to go. So it's almost like they did a taste test. You know, they have a new thing in this internet economy. They call it freemium, where you give away some shit free, but then you pay for the extra, the premium stuff.
That's right.
So like YouTube is kind of like your freemium to an extent, where maybe they checked you out before and then they went and got the real, like, you know, more off the cuff or more like live experience in person. And I'm not saying that that's necessarily good or bad, but just, you know, that's the other perspective.
Well, here's what I'll say to your point. Number one, I agree with that. I mean, there's definitely pros to the internet. Another one of them
is the fact that
you got a little mouth. Oh, there you go.
But you're underground. If you're word of mouth or you're underground, it's gonna take fast. It's gonna take a longer time. The internet definitely speeds up the curve at which you can become a draw or become relevant in the front of people's minds. So to that, I do agree with you, because there's plenty of comics that I'm on to because of the internet. I would have never known them. They, 9 times out of 10, they're never coming to Alabama, because just the thought process of most of the people, comedically the crowds here, it's not New York, it's not LA, it's not San Fran, you know, so certain styles of comedy just don't fly when you get into the deep south. So I am thankful for that, and it has helped me sell tickets in weird places, because Lord knows I'm not some Vegas act that everybody's going to fly out to go see. I just, what I don't like, I guess just from a career standpoint, is that it's created so many fucking more joke thieves, and it's created so many more wannabe comedians. But you take some guy with 20,000 Twitter followers, and he thinks he's a fucking comic because his YouTube video's got a bunch of likes on it. Mm. And you put him on a stage somewhere, and he can't do shit. He can't hold a torch. He doesn't understand the art form of comedy. And the clubs are going to book him because he's popular on the internet, because he's going to sell tickets. So at the end of the day, the club just wants to sell tickets. So it's kind of it's definitely a double-edged sword in that regard. I just think that for me, maybe at this point, I should sneak off the internet for a little while and leave the prank calls, because I do agree with that as well. Like, prank calls are what made me in the hood. I mean, I'll be honest, niggas ain't watching Letterman.
Right.
It's cool, but I ain't never had no real thug. I ain't never had a motherfucker with 2 aunts and 3 baby mamas talking about, yo, cuz, I saw you on Conan O'Brien. That's real ass shit, my nigga. That's just the truth. That ain't happened, and it's never going to happen. So, for certain groups, you know, the TV credits help give you credibility. They help get your money up. They help, you know, make you bona fide. But as far as like appealing to black people, you know, you got to do your death jams. You got to figure out other ways to get into the black mind. And prank calls have always been one of those ways for me. And that's why I've always tried to flood the block on the internet with them. You know, there was a time, I'm trying to get back to it this year, where, you know, I did new prank calls twice a week on my website, and my website was booming. I was doing, for me, it was booming. I was doing like 50,000 hits a week on my website at one point from just doing pranks. I ended up having to stop doing that because I couldn't afford the bandwidth that I was having to pay. So, you know, it's, I definitely agree with that, and that's probably the one thing that I would leave any comics that's listening is, you know, give something away, man. You know, I understand it's your craft. I understand that, you know, it's your writing, it's hard work. You know, figure out a video blog, you know, something you can give people on a regular. You create regular content on a regular schedule on the internet, and that's where the growth, that's how you maximize the internet. It's got to be regularly scheduled content. There's a kid right now out of Orlando. His Twitter is at Spoken Reasons. Spoken Reasons. He's like a comic slash poet. You know, he's a bit of a hybrid. And he does a lot of fucking a lot of videos on a regular basis. I mean, he cranks them out. And his followers and the amount of people that are behind what he does reflects it. I mean, he's on World Star Hip Hop every week like he know the fucking webmaster. So, you know, that type of stuff definitely helps, because a guy like Spoken Reasons, at his age and at his race, Comedy Central isn't going to give him 7 minutes this fall on Premium Blend. He'd have to go through so many politics to get on whatever black comedy show is coming around that it would be harder. So the internet definitely gives a lot of new cats opportunities. I just think it's important to not overexpose yourself in the process, which is where I think I am, which is why I love doing podcasts, because podcasts aren't the typical, so where you from? Again, who inspires you? Like, all right, those are fun questions, but I'd rather argue about the N-word and these punk bitch ass, punk puss ass niggas. See how beautiful that is? You just sneaking in. Tell you, man, the N-word is the shit, man.
It is, man. I make up words sometimes. Like, I made up a word last week, vocabulacious. And that's people that use, like, $10 words that don't have shit to do with what they're talking about. And I like to use my made up words with nigga. So I'd be like, man, that Cornell West is a vocabulacious nigga. You know what I mean? Like, it hits you with the double. Like, what the fuck is he talking? Oh, okay. So I like that word and I like you said, adding it with the adjective and whatnot. It makes it even better, man. But thank you, Roy, man. And that was some deep thoughts on the comedy game, man.
Yes.
I definitely put it like this: if you delete your Twitter and your Facebook, man, you will be missed out here on these internet streets, man.
And I can speak personally. I know for me, going to the site and checking it out and things like that, it made me say, hey, if I hear you coming to my town, I would want to check you out. And like I said, I guess I'm different because, like you said, I'm not trying to steal your jokes. I'm not trying to steal your act or anything like that. And that's going to be the average person. They're going to come in and be like, oh, he's funny. Let me go check him out. Oh, he's funny. Let me get his podcast. And I think the internet allows fans to get into the world of comedians. Years ago, you heard about comedians after they died, or you heard about the life of comedians when they did a documentary or something like that. But now, being a comedian, we almost watch your life, which is kind of different. And I know as a comedian, it has to be frustrating because you always have lights, camera, action on you. It's a little different. And it almost, to an extent, strips you of your privacy, which I understand that too. But at the same time, as a fan, you go, okay, if he ever comes, I want to check him out. I'm like Roger, because it's almost a compliment to go check out the stuff and say, hey, you're funny. I want more of you. And I guess that's from fans' perspective.
Yeah, so, you know, but if you delete that account, man, just make sure you delete it all the way, because if somebody hack you, man, they're going to be putting out corny-ass jokes.
Yes, they are. It's not
good. Oh, God. I'd find me a white boy to hack somebody who's doing that.
Roy Wood Jr. says that the N-word is terrible and needs to be abolished, and this reminds him of slavery. I was like, that man's been hacked.
Definitely. He loves it too much.
Well, all right, man. Thank you, Roy, man. We really do appreciate it, man.
Hey, thank y'all a lot, man. RoyWoodJr.com if anybody gives a shit about where I'll be drunk this year. Tour schedule lined up right there.
RoyWoodJr.com. Y'all make sure y'all hit him up before he deletes it and tries to erase his presence from the internet.
Yes. We thank you for spending time with us.
Thanks, Roy.
All good.
All right,
y'all.
Peace.
How you
doing, man?
Fine.
My name is Barrow Limfield. I run Scab at Wings and Things.
Uh-huh.
And what I'm trying to find out from y'all, first off, how much do y'all charge per load?
Okay, it's 69 cents a pound.
Okay, well, here's what I got going on. See, I run Scabab Chicken Wing Things.
Uh-huh.
And our rotisserie machine went out on us. And I'm just trying to get a good scope of everything and price.
Okay.
Got one of my boys on the way over there now. Because what we're going to do is probably end up just putting four or five of our chickens up in that dryer to go ahead and just let them slow cook right quick.
What are you talking about?
To try and get them ready for tomorrow.
What are you talking about?
Well, because the dryers usually get up to 190, about 180 degrees. And we know
what chickens?
Well, the chickens that are on the way from one of my drivers, man. I called a couple of other places.
Wait a minute. This is the laundromat. But we don't put chickens in there.
Oh, well, man, for 69 cents a load, I think I'm entitled out to put whatever I can.
I don't think you can put chickens in the dryer.
Well, I don't know what I can do because my boy's already on the way.
You can put rags and clothes and stuff like that, but not chickens.
Well, can I put a chicken inside a rag in the dryer?
I think you're nuts.
Well, ma'am, you can think whatever you want, but I think for 69 cents.
I'm Miss Edge.
Hey, how about it?
Who is this?
This is Bill Rob Lemonfield. I'm calling on behalf of Scully's Wing Things. We're a chicken restaurant over here on West Dock. You know the internal temperature of those dryers there? I'm not trying to hold
you
up much longer.
Talk to my husband. Hold on.
Oh, thank you.
What's the internal temperature of the dryer?
Probably 190 degrees.
About 190 on that one right there. Our oven has went out, and we still got some stuff that we got to get left prepared. I want to know if there'd be a big problem. I sterilize it and everything. I want to throw a couple of chickens up in your dryer to go ahead and cook in rotisserie for the rest of the day. So we go ahead and have
this
stuff.
Is a laundromat. I couldn't have raw food in the dryer.
Well, no, sir. It'll be cooked by the time it's done. I mean, if I could just show y'all how to season them, I could show y'all how to season them and get the seasoning.
I don't do anything with food.
Do you have? You can keep a couple of the chickens for yourself.
I just don't have time.
Sanitation's a question. We can throw a couple in the washing machine first and rinse them off. I mean, whatever you want to do to make you feel comfortable about the matter, sir.
I wouldn't be able to let you have any of the dryers to do food in. These dryers are tumblers. I don't want them in the store.
And all I need is one dryer, sir. Put two or three of them in there.
I can't help you.
Can I speak back with your wife, please?
It doesn't matter. I'm the owner.
I understand you're the owner, but maybe she's willing to talk a little sense into you, sir. If you could just put your wife back on the phone.
Well, we don't have time. I own the place. I don't want to do business with you. Thank
Michael,
you.
Mr. Richard, you can...
Edge.
Yes, ma'am. Could you put Michael on the phone for me one more game, please?
Is this the same person that wants to put chickens in the dryers?
Yes, ma'am, it is.
I'm sorry. We can't do that. Goodbye.
Ma'am, I wanted to let Mr. McKeever know that he's not welcome at Scab Ass Wings.
The person you called is no longer on the line.
Laundromat.
Yes, ma'am. Have my boy made it over there that way just yet?
No, he hasn't made it.
Okay. Now, if I could, what was your name, ma'am?
Leah.
In lieu of you extending this great service to me and my
I'm on the other line, honey. I got a customer.
Ma'am, I'm trying to send you some food here, Leah. If you could just hold on a second. Now, what kind of items?
We don't service no food here. We don't put no food in the dryers. I've got to go. Don't be calling here no more.
Leah, please, babe.
All right, so that was comedian Voywood Jr. from VoidWoodJr.com. We got him on the show.
Check him out, guys.
Thank you for all the fans that spread the word. And the people that suggested that he follow us on Twitter and whatnot. And it really worked out well. And got some deep comedy thoughts. And
yes, we did.
Some ratchet-ass discussions. So let's go ahead and get into the news. Breaking news. Breaking.
Uh-oh. This must be important.
Bishop Long stroke and poke. Bishop Eddie Long,
who wrote this,
finally agreed to make to a settlement with all the boys that he raped.
It better be all of them, because if he missing one, they just ain't going no well.
An attorney involved in a sexual misconduct lawsuit against Bishop Eddie Long said the matters have been resolved, aka the check was cut.
Yes. So that mean that nigga did it, and he just didn't want extra information to come out. I don't care what nobody says. You don't cut checks if you're innocent.
Well, thank goodness for all the people that donated their hard-earned tithes to New Birth Missionary Baptist Church.
Because
now your money is in the hands of the boys who were sexually assaulted by your pastor.
And I can guarantee you probably millions of dollars.
Yeah, but you know, keep on writing those checks. Barbara Mushalk, who represented the New Birth Missionary Baptist Church and Longfellow's Youth Academy, say she anticipates the lawsuits will be dismissed with prejudice by close of business tomorrow. BJ Bernstein, who, yes, Karen?
What does with prejudice mean?
Obviously, there's racism involved. I don't know.
Okay, that's what I was thinking.
I'm not a lawyer. I don't know what that means, actually. But somebody write us and let us know. By close of business tomorrow, BJ Bernstein, who represents the four men who sued Eddie Long, New Birth, and Longfellows, also confirmed the lawsuit has been settled. Neither side would comment further on settlement terms were unknown. How much would, say Eddie, you had a son, and he was one of Longfellows, and he got Eddie Long domed and hit from the back after he went on a trip to Africa. How much would Eddie Long have to pay you for your son's butthole virginity?
I personally think it's going to be millions of dollars. Each one of them boys is going to be set for the rest of their lives. And I guarantee you, it's probably going to be some stipulation out there that says you can't talk to media, you can't go on radio, like, you can't write books. I guarantee you, it's going to be some other stipulation to that. It's going to be like Tiger Woods and his wife. He is $90 million, however much you pay that bitch. It was like, hey, you can't say shit.
So you would sell your son's virginity in his butt for a couple, for millions of dollars? That's what it would take to get you to shut up, Karen?
Yeah, because we can fix the butthole. Millions of dollars can fix anything.
Okay. According to Bernstein's office, neither she nor the plaintiffs, Maurice Robinson, Jamal Paris, Anthony Flagg, and Spencer LeGrand, would be available for an interview on this matter now or in the future. So
that's right. It's stipulations to that.
Yeah, pretty much he paid for their silence.
Yes, he did. And silence costs a whole lot of money.
Speaking of a whole lot of money, everybody's been talking about it. I'm not going to get too far into the details, but apparently Kim Kardashian got a 20.5-carat engagement ring.
Good God.
From Chris Humphries. And I've looked at this article where they actually compare it to other people's rings.
Okay.
Like, her ring was supposedly $2 million. And other people's rings, Hillary Duff got a ring from hockey player Mike Comrie, 14 carats, $1 million.
Ooh.
Chloe got one from Lamar for $850,000, which really says a lot about Khloe Kardashian and how fine her sister is compared to her.
True.
Any feminist would agree.
Yes, they would.
Beyonce's ring from Jay-Z cost $5 million. It was 18 carats.
Good God.
Crazy in love indeed, Karen.
Woo-woo.
Carrie Wood's ring from Mike Fisher, 12 carats, $800,000.
Wow. I would not want that much money on my hands.
Christina Aguilera had the cheapest ring, $54,000 for 20 carats, because she's a cheap whore.
20 carats? What was that made out of? Rocks?
I don't know.
Everybody else got millions, you know, yours is going to be twice as big. Oh, I bet you that didn't sparkle nobody.
Jessica Simpson's ring from Eric Johnson was 8 carats for $100,000. Remember, when we watched Basketball Wives.
Mm-hmm.
Royce wanted that dude who basically ran a fashion show to pay for $90,000 for a ring for her. And that was just walking in the store thinking about it.
Oh my God.
Yeah. I don't know who the fuck is dating these women, man. Nobody's pussy is this good.
No, and I don't know why. And women are stupid. Mm-hmm. The average woman is not going to marry a man with this much money. And the sad part about it, you end up running a good man that will love you, won't whoop your ass, won't beat your ass, will be a good baby daddy to you for the rest of your life because you want a fucking $2 billion ring.
Well, I don't think any of these women are concerned about that type of man, though, okay?
Yeah, but I'm talking about the average woman is not going to get no ring. Like,
yeah, a lot of women do love that ring, man.
It's not that important. You spend all that money on that ring and y'all don't stay together, that's pointless.
Yeah, it's true. Paris Hilton had a ring that cost $2.1 million. She also had one that was $5 million. So she got two rings.
Yeah, and on top of that, I don't agree with violence, but that's a lot of money. That's a lot of money to get cut from.
Well, yeah, if we break up and I bought you $2 million worth of ring, I have to kill you. It's not a choice. Speaking of having to kill somebody, this teen, she was very upset with her father. A Washington State man who had to be airlifted to the hospital after his daughter shot him with a hunting bow because he took away her cell phone.
Are you serious?
Mm-hmm. Apparently she was almost out of any time minutes.
And that was possibly his fault. He probably taught her ass how to shoot a deer.
Yeah, it probably was. Maybe it was like a Big Daddy and Hit Girl and Kick Ass. So you gotta stop teaching your kids all this dangerous shit.
Yes.
The 15-year-old girl refused to let her father use the phone to call for help Wednesday evening, forcing him to crawl to a neighbor's house for help. So she shot him with the arrow, and he was like, "Oh, I need to call 911, baby. I'm gonna die." And she was like, "Oh, now who can't use the phone, nigga? Huh? It was all good when I wasn't using the phone, but now look at you. Crawling like a bitch."
See, this is why I couldn't be a parent. Because you know what? I'd be like, okay, they would heal me. And when I got home, I would pack all her shit up. No. Just what you got on. Because everything ain't how I bought. So I would take her ass and ship her somewhere else. And say, you know what? Let them take care of your ass.
Yeah, I think you have to, man. Raising a crazy-ass ratchet kid.
Yes, you are.
This is almost worse than the sword. The fuck, you want to be Hawkeye? Like,
yeah, and then on top of that, this is your daddy, the person who sacrificed to take care of you. He's probably paying for the phone, probably bought the fucking phone.
Yeah, and when the officers arrived at the house, about 35 miles west of Seattle, the girl fled into the woods with a bow and 35 arrows. She was
ready for him, wasn't she?
She must have watched.
The dude with the arrow?
Robin Hood?
Yeah.
Yeah, she must have watched Robin Hood and decided, I know how to take these niggas out. She went into the woods with her band of merry men. SWAT team was called in to take her into custody, and her 35-year-old father was listed in critical condition. Or serious condition.
Wow, yeah, I wouldn't be to nothing like that, but she would have to go, period. You have to leave.
Yeah. Cops said no one was injured seriously, you know. Just an arrow to the face,
that's
you know.
It. That's it.
It was easy, he'll be all right.
He took one to the eye, that's all.
All right, so a Naples man is accused of attacking a woman with his swim noodle. You know what a swim noodle is?
Hell no.
It's what they have, like, kids use them a lot in the pool. Like, it's these light things that float on top of the water. You grab them and you swim.
They're like long poles. Like,
yeah,
okay.
Like foam.
Okay,
like foam.
I use them in my swimming classes.
Okay, so Carl Ludwig Eichner, 68, they give his address, was arrested Thursday by Naples officers, and they give the address of where he was arrested, on a battery charge. According to the arrest report, a woman who was at the beach with a friend observed a rotting watermelon. And no, he wasn't black, for y'all wondering. She observed a rotting watermelon that had been carved and shaped into a head sitting on the sand. The watermelon seemed to have been abandoned, so she placed it in the ocean in hopes that it would disintegrate and not attract any bugs.
Yeah.
Okay, so you agree with her doing that?
Yeah, you don't know who it belongs to.
Okay, so Eichner retrieved the watermelon from the ocean and placed it back on the beach.
Okay.
So apparently it's his watermelon, right?
Yes.
So then the woman placed the watermelon in the ocean again.
Okay, now that's where the problem was.
That's face punching time. So Eichner approached the woman with his swim noodle full of water, dumped the water on her as she was sitting down on her towel. He then punched her in the cheek.
Wow.
A polite cheek punch, if you will.
Wow.
Yeah. I know y'all out there are like, oh, he shouldn't have did that. No, fuck that. It's obvious you don't fuck with a man's watermelon, even if he's not black. Sometimes you gotta take things to your own hands.
Yes.
Stop being nosy. And when he put the shit back up, that she should have known
that he was crazy.
Yes.
Average exactly. Person would let that shit watch the sea. Come on now.
Yeah. And it's obvious that he cares about that shit. Why would you just throw it back? Like, she must have got hyped up by her friends or something.
Must have, but I'm sorry, that shit get your ass whooped. No, I'm like, okay, that's yours. I'm out.
Here's one. In another repulsive in-flight episode, a Florida man was arrested last Thursday by the FBI after he allegedly masturbated to the point of ejaculation.
Oh!
While traveling on a United Air flight to en route to Colorado. Cal Pierce, 25, was busted after the United Airlines Flight 340 arrived in Denver from Spokane, Washington. According to an affidavit sworn by FBI agent Martin Daniel, Pierce, pictured at the right, was named in a May 20th misdemeanor criminal. That's only a misdemeanor? Jacking off on a plane, that should be a federal crime. This shit is terrorism.
I guess I realized the penis ain't that boy.
Send this nigga to Guantanamo. You can't hold it till you get on the ground?
There's
bathrooms in every airport. That's what
it is.
For Republican senators
it's
use.
It's the bathroom on the plane.
Yeah, exactly. So he was charged with making an obscene and indecent exposure of his person. So they call your dick your person now? I believe it's his dick, your honor. As detailed by Daniel, an 18-year-old woman told investigators that she was seated in row 18 next to Pierce, who was in the aisle seat. I sat next to a man on the plane who was masturbating. I heard a noise and looked over and saw his penis.
Oh.
The teenager recalled in a written statement, she added, he ejaculated and got some on the seat.
Oh.
Then he went in the bathroom for a long time. Well, shouldn't it be the opposite way? Shouldn't you be in the bathroom for a long time before you jack off? Like, shouldn't you? You should have just got up and jacked off in the bathroom for a long time.
Oh, now I got to clean the whole plane. It's disgusting.
It's terrorism, Karen. You know you can't bring liquids on the plane, and semen is a liquid.
That's true. And it's over the 8 ounces.
Well, it depends on what kind of man you messing with, Karen. Everybody don't have my type of stream. The woman reported that Pierce was wearing jeans tucked into cowboy boots, introduced himself as Kyle, and then it said he was connected on to Orlando, Florida. Pierce's MySpace page describes him as a junior college student who has been a bull rider for 8 years. The passenger seated behind him recalled that my friend Zach turned to me and said, "That man is masturbating." And in disbelief, I don't believe anybody said, they're quoting this shit, but nobody says masturbating. Mm-mm. Like, he is jacking off.
You know exactly what he said.
And in disbelief, I looked and saw his penis, and he was. In his written statement, Miller reported that I hit him with the book, with my book in the arm, which caused him to stop and leave for the bathroom. So he needed to get hit with the book in order to come. Because she said he ejaculated. So then he got hit with that.
He liked it rough.
Well, Karen, nobody likes flying, you know? It really does make a lot of people nervous. And sometimes you got to jack off when you're nervous.
Oh.
You know, some people sleep. Some people, you know, go for a jog. Not this dude. So, Fayetteville, so you know this is going to be ratchet.
Oh, yes, we both know about Fayetteville.
Fayetteville, North Carolina.
Yes, sir.
Two men were sent to the hospital after the family of the woman they tried to rob beat them, stabbed them, and then shot them with their own gun.
Ah! They fucked with the wrong one.
Only in Fayetteville.
Yes, sir.
Early Monday, 47-year-old Maria Gubara was returning home to Cambridge Arms apartment after attending a birthday party. That's when 22-year-old Raphael Weddy and Terrell Battle got out of the car and tried to steal her purse at gunpoint. Gubara began screaming for help, alerting 10 to 15 friends and family members who lived at the apartment complex. As they came running to her aid, one of the robbers shot at them, the bullet passing through their clothing. Wow, that's how close the bullet was. He shot at this group of people. The bullet passed through their clothes, so he almost hit them. The man that was driving the car that they got out of, he drove off.
He got sense because they about to get their asses whooped.
A very wise decision on his part, as Gubara and her family are from El Salvador.
Oh, that's the wrong group of folks. Yeah.
Yeah, I've seen the Shield. El Salvadorians don't fuck around.
No, they don't. And she's talking about 10 to 15. Oh, they was ready to fight.
Yeah, these people have dealt with civil war and military death squads.
Yes. Drug wars and everything else. You ain't got shit on what they have to deal with.
Right. So, they just decided to stop them and to arrest somebody. A friend of the victim said, it's nothing that they talked
about. You skipped
some. I'm not worried about that. That's okay. Editorial shit, Cam.
Oh, my bad.
It's nothing that they talked about beforehand or planned. They're tired of being the victims of attacks, and stop them they did. Oh. With one hellacious beatdown. And you can see this dude's face. He's got stitches.
Yeah,
like he's half drugged right now.
They whooped his ass.
When police arrived, they found both Battle and Weddy lying in a bloody, crumpled heap on the pavement.
Ooh.
Both suspects were shot during the initial struggle with the suspect's gun, and the family severely beat, stabbed, and cut both subjects.
Ooh!
Yeah. Both Battle and Weddy were taken to the hospital. Battle was released on Monday, while Weddy, who was admitted in critical condition, was released on Tuesday. Both men were placed in jail on charges of assault with a deadly weapon with intent to kill, robbery with a dangerous weapon, conspiracy to commit armed robbery. So, yeah, don't go fucking with people in Fayetteville.
And they're probably not gonna charge her, which they shouldn't, because they wouldn't have got their asses whooped if they hadn't bothered her. She was minding her business.
Speaking of minding your business.
Mm-hmm.
Being legally prohibited from using the internet, that you can't use it anywhere, means that you can't use it anywhere. Not even in an Apple store. A registered sex offender was recently reminded of this fact the hard way. Robert Nicholas McGuire, a man who was at some point busted for possession of child porn, decided to check his Facebook account while in a California Apple store. Unfortunately for McGuire, or fortunately for kids, I would say, a detective who happened to have worked his case was in the Apple store and recognized him.
What are the odds of that shit happening?
Apparently 1-to-1, Karen. That's
wow.
A 1-to-1 ratio to that shit. It happened. I know he looked around. I know he couldn't believe that shit. Like, you again?
Yes, and I've been to the Apple store. It's like 1,500 people in a fucking Apple store.
So maybe that's why the odds were good.
Yes, 20 people in blue shirts. Yes, the shit is crowded.
See, what happened was that cop was in line, and he was like, this is a good way to skip line.
Ha, ha, ha.
When the detective recognized him, he sidled up to his computer to see what McGuire was doing. He didn't just stop there, though. He strolled up to the computer next to McGuire, logged onto the Megan's Law website, a California-wide registry of sex offender, and looked up McGuire's current status.
Damn.
The detective discovered that McGuire was not only still on probation, but also prohibited from using the internet as a condition of his release, so he naturally proceeded to take him into custody.
Wow, so if you're prohibited from using the internet, does that mean if you like buy Roadrunner, they shut your shit down?
It's like, yeah, I don't know how it works, but what I'm saying?
It would seem like it would. If you have internet, it
would
have to be in somebody else's name. It couldn't be in your name.
I would just think that when he was looking him up, you think he was like, excuse me, sir, police business, I need to confiscate this computer next to this pedophile. Thank you. And now to look him up. And they think he looked at him like L.A. Noir.
You know he did.
Well, he's just like, where were you the night of using the internet right now in my face? Oh, I don't know what you're talking about, officer. I wasn't anywhere. Lying! You're lying! Well, you're going to have to prove it, cop. The evidence is you right here on the internet now.
Yes.
The shortest case in L.A. Noir, period.
In history, yes.
So, this mom offered to sell her teen daughter's virginity for $10,000.
Oh.
Yeah, I know. What a terrible mom, Karen. You would sell your son's butthole virginity, but for millions.
No, I didn't say I would sell it. This happens after the fact.
Oh, okay. So you would just want some compensation.
Yes.
Because, you know, fuck your son's dignity.
No, it's not that. It's for the fact that he's going to be humiliated. It's more that goes to it that you're going to have to pay me for
that. Yeah, no need to file criminal charges. No, let the criminal keep conducting church as long as you get your money. Mother of the year. Felicia McClure, 32, was charged Monday with 2 counts of aggravated sex abuse and 2 counts of sexual exploitation of a minor after police say she attempted to sell her 13-year-old daughter's virginity for the low, low price of 10 G's.
Low, low?
Yeah, you know, virginity, man, it's a seller's market these days.
And on top of that, not to get back on such, but back to the Eddie Long case, they probably didn't want to deal with it any longer than they had to either.
Some people want to see sexual predators brought to justice, and some people just want $1 million. I can't tell you what to do, Karen. Just don't wonder why we ain't have kids. That's all I'm saying.
No, we would not have children.
You sure you still think you need to have kids, dark hated Karen? Gonna let them get raped?
I am not.
You just want the money.
I am not.
According to Salt Lake County prosecutor Sim Gill, McClure's boyfriend went to the police after having seen several text messages between McClure and a man identified only as Don discussing sex acts between him and the teen. So the boyfriend, who's not even the kid's father apparently, had to find these text messages and turn this chick in.
Wow.
When questioned, McClure admitted to the scheme, you know, just like L.A. Noir, telling police she had promised Don that her daughter would perform oral sex and other sex acts in exchange for 10 G's. She further admitted taking the girl to a Victoria's Secret and allowing Don to watch as she and the child modeled in lingerie.
Are you serious?
In addition to that, McClure also accused of sending pictures of the lingerie-clad teen to yet another man in exchange for money. The teen reportedly told police she initially agreed with the arrangement but later changed her mind. McClure is being held in Salt Lake City with $250,000 bail. Authorities have declined to comment on either of the men involved, which probably means they're still looking for them.
Yeah, and they need to go to jail along with their mama.
So you know we can't do a show without sword ratchery.
That's right.
More charges in the sword fight. A Huntsville man who was on the receiving end of a blade in a sword fight over money Saturday in Athens has been charged with assault along with his combatant, Jason Dennis Cisco. Going straight to the Wild Wild West. Cisco.
Somebody's sleeping in my bed. I'm sorry.
Think he had gold hair.
You know he did. Blonde.
I knew people with gold hair love swords.
Yes, they do.
Amber Rose, Cisco, Chris Brown.
Ah.
He was arrested Tuesday and charged with second degree assault, Athens Police Captain Floyd Johnson said. The arrest was the result of an investigation into a fight between Cisco and Dennis Green. Wait, Dennis Green? The coach for the Cardinals? So this is what Cisco and Dennis Green are up to these days?
I know.
Yeah, he had him too, man, but he let him off the hook and Cisco got away.
Wow.
All right, so Green was charged with first degree assault at the time. The investigation revealed that during an argument over money, Cisco hit Green at least twice with a sheathed sword, which left bruises on Green. Johnson said Green retrieved the sword from Cisco and struck him in the side of the head, cutting him on his right cheek and ear.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. And they were booked at the police department, so. Swords bring out the ratchet.
Yes, they do.
This is my favorite story of the day. Man says pants missing at the liaison. Well, I'll read it. The tale of misfortune begins with a trip to Fort Pierce and a woman with real big thighs. Mixed in the plot, that's how I like it. Mixed in the plot was an hourly lodging establishment and gin and drinks. In the end, a 24-year-old man told police his silver trousers, bar, rental car, cash, and other items went missing.
Wow.
Who has silver pants in these days?
I have no idea.
A 30-year-old man told Fort Pierce police he lent his rented Dodge Avenger May 19th to his 24-year-old friend, who he said encountered some misfortune and the car was stolen. The friend, a Vero Beach resident, said he borrowed the vehicle about 5 p.m. and drove to Fort Pierce to meet a female acquaintance. When he arrived, the woman who he was supposed to meet didn't answer the phone. Sounds like he went to call a prostitute.
And she
didn't answer the phone when he went out there or something. So he was seeking female companionship, so the man drove to a park at North 13th Street and Avenue N where he saw females hanging out.
They were hanging out all right.
Hanging out of their clothes?
Yes, sir.
It sounded like he went cruising for prostitutes to me.
Yeah, talking about them silver pants. He got them from the Tin Man.
He spotted a woman in her early to mid-20s with real big thighs.
Ooh.
And a light complexion.
Hey.
She had big old ass and she was light-skinned and dead.
You know she was. Hot yellow.
And they ended up in the Dodge. The man said they talked for about an hour when he talked her out of her pants.
Oh.
Yeah, he was on that red bone can.
Yes, he was.
They drove to a lodging establishment that rents rooms by the hours. And he gave the woman with real big thighs $30 for a room. Both drank several drinks containing gin. Duh. So they describe how you make gin. Shut the fuck up.
Wow.
The man got intoxicated and they engaged in a liaison. And when he woke up, the woman with real big thighs was missing, as were his rental car keys, silver trousers, gold bracelet, a watch, and $282 in cash.
Wow.
Yeah, it sounds like that.
And I know one thing. He didn't take the tip from Mac in Chicago.
Mm-mm. He got rolled.
Nothing.
He got rolled. He's a trick. They got trick rolled.
Yes.
I'm not reading this whole story because everybody's probably been talking about it, but apparently these thieves got some more weed. They rammed the front door of a beauty salon and stole $10,000 worth of weed.
Good God, that's some expensive hell.
Y'all better start locking this weave up, man. The streets is talking.
Yeah, weave is a multi-billion-dollar business, man.
Yeah, and last story. Naked man rammed condo with dump truck. A local man faces numerous charges, after allegedly driving a dump truck into a South Berwick home Wednesday night while naked, then picking a fight with the resident.
Oh, so you run a dump truck in my car and then you want to fight my ass?
Into the house.
Yeah, you run your truck into my house, you butt naked, and you won't fight me.
Yeah. Eli T. Hutchins, 24, was arrested by the police and charged with driving under the influence of drugs. Oh, what? He was on drugs? I'm surprised. Two counts of assault and aggravated criminal mischief. Police say he drove his 1994 Ford one-ton dump truck over a series of lawns and into the front of 21 Woodland Hills.
Man, he could have killed somebody. What's wrong with people?
Hutchins had been at a party at another unit in the condominium complex and was involved in a confrontation there before getting behind the wheel just before 11 p.m. That confrontation led to one of the assault charges. Hutchins' truck smashed a gaping hole through the exterior wall of the single-story apartment, crashing into the kitchen.
Wow.
Yes, he was crashing that party. Crashed the house party.
Yeah, he crashed it for real.
A resident and his 7-year-old son were sleeping in a nearby bedroom. The front of the truck came to a rest less than 15 feet from my bed.
Ooh.
It went through. What was he doing? Did he steal the truck, or was this his truck? Like,
I think it said it was his truck.
He just drives a fucking junk truck. That's crazy, man.
Yeah, he said, yep.
Yeah, he has a. He drives a. People that own swords and drive dump trucks, I don't trust it. The fuck you doing driving a dump truck like a personal vehicle?
A 1-ton dump truck too.
Let's see. It went through the kitchen and damaged the door, bedroom wall. Police say Hutchins immediately attacked the resident, whose name was not released. The resident responded by hitting Hutchins twice in the head with a hammer.
I'm trying to tell you, I whooped his ass too.
Yeah, like
you naked, so you definitely had the disadvantage.
Sound like he was going hammer.
Yes.
Blammer.
I'm surprised he hit him in the head. If he hit him in the dick, I bet you that's all that problem.
Wow. Okay, we don't have to take it there, okay? It's just, all the man did was wreck into your house with a dump truck. There's no need to go hitting him in the dick. That's crazy.
The millions of dollars of damage? What?
Hutchins was taken to York Hospital for evaluation and released to be taken to the county jail where he is being held.
Yeah, I bet you one thing. I sure to keep your clothes on.
So the house, the apartment had a lot of damage, and the truck is a complete loss.
Wow.
Yeah. So they're waiting on police reports to see what kind of drugs that motherfucker was on.
I'm sorry, you dug I bet you he did that to the El Salvador people. I bet you they'd whipped his ass. run your fucking truck into my house.
They would have ran
him like me.
They would have ran him over with his own truck.
Hell yeah, they'd have backed that shit up and ran him over.
Ouch!
That's all you'd have been hearing.
Alright, man. Well, this has been another episode of the Blackout Tips. We'd like to thank Roy Wood Jr. for being on the show with
us.
Yes,
thank you.
Of course, this show is sponsored by Shadow Dog Productions and the Audio Play Dancing. Make sure you go get that shit for 99 cents.
Yes, guys. Shadow Dog Productions puts out a great product.
Make sure you follow us on Twitter. I'm at Rodimus Prime.
Say that again. That is in D-A-T.
You can always find us at theblackouttips.com. Make sure you donate. We love when we get recurring donations, to people like that. Email the show, theblackouttips@gmail.com. Send us a voicemail, 704-557-0186. And we will respond to those on Saturday mornings when we do our feedback show. So until next time, I love you.
I love you too, baby. Mwah.